the April Bill of the Month. Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal is senior contributing editor with our partner KFF Health News, and she periodically comes by with an outrageous medical bill or otherwise to talk about. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Steve. This one's a doozy.
Where does this doozy take us?
We're headed to Florida to meet Sarah Walsh. She and her husband had tried for 8 years to have a kid. So when they learned there were twins on the way, they were hopeful and excited. Unfortunately, about 6 months into the pregnancy, Sarah discovered she had a rare complication that was potentially fatal.
Oh, meaning the pregnancy was at risk.
Yes, three doctors said she urgently needed surgery to save the twins.
Well, let's hear this story from the beginning. Here's reporter Stephanie O'Neill.
There was little about Sarah Walsh's pregnancy that was typical, starting with her first ultrasound. Her obstetrician pointed out a fetus and something else not quite identifiable.
So I asked her immediately, is there a chance that could be a second baby, like a twin? Because my husband's grandmother had told us about a decade earlier we'd have twin girls one day.
Turns out she was pregnant with twins, in fact, identical twin girls. But then, at 24 weeks, a maternal fetal specialist diagnosed her with a rare and serious complication. It's called twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, which happens when blood is shared unevenly through the same placenta.
My specialist had prepared me that it was a slim possibility from very early on, and I had started feeling so poorly 2-3 days leading up to my appointment that I knew something was wrong.
Things were so serious that the specialist recommended she undergo immediate in utero surgery. Going without, he said, could be fatal for the twins and for Sarah. But the doctor who developed the gold standard treatment for it could do the surgery the next day.
My OB, I think trying to calm me down because I was already in tears, was like, look, it's deadly without treatment, but we're sending you to a world-class specialist. You're going to see him tomorrow, and we're going to put faith that everything's going to be okay.
But the surgeon was about 4 hours away in Miami. So Sarah and her husband catapulted themselves into logistics mode.
Call and text my boss, call and text your boss, call my parents, call his parents.
As they packed their suitcases, the phone rang. It was the surgeon's billing office with shocking news. Before her appointment the next morning, Sarah needed to pay in full for the consultation, the surgery, and the post-operative care. About $15,000 up front, money she and her husband did not have.
My first question was, don't you take insurance?
The biller for the surgeon's office told us that while the practice does accept Medicaid, it does not contract with private insurance. Upfront payment is their normal practice, and she said the office is transparent about their billing practices, disclosing them to patients at the outset. The biller also said if someone can't pay, the office will send them back to the physician who referred them to find another option. In Sarah's case, there was no time to do that, so she asked for a payment plan.
I was told, no, we don't offer payment plans. So I went, you know, how is the average person expected to pay you? They referred me to a medical credit card company.
The interest rate, she says, was outrageous.
And I was in tears at that point.
In a statement, the surgeon said with patients from all over the world, it would be impractical to join all health plans. If any patient is unable to pay, they refer them, as they did Sarah, to medical credit card companies, or they offer an alternative payment plan on a case-by-case basis. Ultimately, Sarah's mother stepped in and helped her pay for the surgery. She and her mom used credit cards they already had. And Sarah says she also called her insurer, who advised her to apply for a waiver that could allow the company to reclassify her care as in-network. But there was no guarantee. And since then, Sarah has spent more than a year trying to get reimbursed. Her insurer declined to comment on her case. After her twins were born, Sarah learned that another provider could have performed the procedure, but she didn't know that at the time, and she didn't have time to shop around. Today, Sarah Walsh's twin girls are rambunctious and healthy 18-month-old toddlers. Sarah says she and her doctors are confident the surgery saved her daughters' lives. For NPR News, I'm Stephanie O'Neill.
We are back with Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal, and let's just remember, Sarah had hours to come up with thousands of dollars. Aren't there, though, laws that would have required doctors to treat her whether she could pay or not in an emergency?
Well, Sarah's case falls into a gray area between emergency and elective care. It really shows a gap in consumer protections for people who have rare specialized conditions, few treatment options, and little time for comparison shopping. So federal billing protections are still lacking in many situations.
Was it then legal for the surgeon to say, I won't do anything unless you pay up front?
It's not illegal for a doctor to charge up front for care, even when lives are on the line. But for Sarah, with her doctor saying she could lose the pregnancy, she felt like her only option was to pay up and pay up fast. So, yes, it was technically elective, but the choice was likely losing her babies and potentially her life. So what kind of choice is that, really?
Could Sarah, in that situation, have negotiated a lower price?
Well, you know, when there's elective surgery, yes, you can negotiate often a lower price. And there is a bit of flexibility. But, you know, this was an emergency, as Sarah saw it and as I would see it. So in those kind of cases, there's little incentive providers and insurers to negotiate for fair payment and no time.
Of course, what she ultimately did was put it on a credit card. Is that common?
Yes, that's very, very common. It's a trend that NPR and KFF Health News have noted in our joint reporting on medical debt this year in America. Major medical expenses often end up on people's Visa or MasterCard. And statistically speaking, they're often not counted in the national tallies of medical debt. But of course, it's part of the overall burden of financial medical debt that people deal with. And when you account for all credit cards and other kinds of loans people use to pay for care, medical debt is much higher than many people realize.
Okay, Dr. Rosenthal, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.